Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer as soon as we get settled here a little bit. I really hate to always interrupt you, but if we don't get started, we don't get started.
Yes.
And if we wait for everybody to quiet down, it'll be 10 o'clock and we still haven't even prayed. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you that you have given us, allowed us to have the freedom to gather. And we thank you for the word that you've put in our hands, Lord. So many in the world do not have the written word. So many in the world can't even read the writing word if they had it. And you've blessed us with everything, everything. And yet, Lord, as we see, we're surrounded by those that have turned their back against you. And we see all the results of that decay and that horrendous results of living without you. But we know you, and you have given us that life. So, Lord, as we look at your word again this morning, draw us to you, and may we honor you with our hearts and lips as we move forward this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go through the Psalms of Ascents, today we're going to take a couple again, the five verses in 127 and the six verses in 128. The 127 is kind of interesting because it says, some translations say of Solomon and say some for Solomon. And many people believe that this was written by David on behalf of Solomon or dedicated to Solomon. And I kind of think I like that because it starts right out, unless the Lord builds the house. Well, who's a big house builder during that time? David's son, Solomon. And so he's going to build the temple. And so here is maybe the Spirit writing through Dad in one way. Pay attention. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And so, of course, that figures in anybody's life, in our house of life or any other thing we build. It's got to be of the Lord. So I thought we would just begin by singing this song. My hope is built on nothing less. Built on what? On nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy trust in Jesus' name. So the words are there. Let's sing along, if you will.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, we made strong in His love. Through the storm, He is Lord. Yeah.
That was wonderful just to see you worshiping. It's so beautiful. Psalm 127, entitled Laboring and Prospering with the Lord, a Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So we continue on with the Song of Ascents now, and now we're really getting some guidance on living in a way. And notice there's three veins here right in a row. There's a vein aspect, those who build the house, unless the Lord guards this, unless the Lord builds it. There's the vein in watching the city, unless the Lord is watching. There's vein for you to rise up early and to stay up late, and the reason why. It is all focused on it's the Lord, right? It's the Lord. It is not you. You know, I'm just so blown away every time I spend any time in the Word of all. In the Word at all, I kind of almost want to look at what's the date on this memo. You know, because it's so current, isn't it? 3,000 years old, and it absolutely fits every aspect of my life and every aspect of the environment that I'm in, every aspect of the government that we see in the world, and so forth. But it's unless the Lord builds the house. Now, what house do you have in your life? Mainly, it's the house you want to be eternally in, right? And that is in his house, right? So are you building that house? Is that a strong house that makes no real difference of your physical condition? It makes no real difference of the world condition. It's only between you and the Lord. That's that eternal aspect. That's that external aspect. So as we keep trying to stay away from getting distracted into what we think, we've got a lot of distractions. We've all had distractions. There's never been a lack of distractions in the world. Now, it's maybe a little different method of getting it to us. I mean, today we have international coverage where we didn't have years ago, but you still had distractions. You still have distractions. Satan has been alive and well for 2,000 years. Well, he's not well because he's dead. He's defeated, but he still has got power, right? God has left him in that alternative of aspect. But we see here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Anything without the Lord is not going to work. I mean, it's worthless. Spend all you want on a burglar alarm system. That's good. I guess it's good. Spend all you want on insurance. I guess that's good. Spend all you want on doctor's appointments. I guess that's good. But it's still the Lord, right? Everything is in the Lord's hands. Everything is in the Lord's hands. He's going to take our last breath right on time. Right on time. His time, right? Not my time, his time. So are you comfortable with that? Yeah, but you don't know what's happening. Well, what do you mean you don't know what's happening? What difference does it make? Well, I don't want to get COVID. Well, what's wrong with COVID? You're going to die. You're going to die with COVID or without COVID? You're going to go when the Lord takes you home. So he's given us this great pestilence here. I was just talking to somebody earlier this morning, and, you know, I've got this great opportunity on Monday night and Tuesday morning to have a group online, which would have never been there without COVID. We'd never had an online. We'd scoff at a Zoom class. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's the most worthless thing in the world. I mean, it's just like ridiculous. You'd never do that. Let's meet in person. We want to meet in person. Yeah, we do want to meet in person, but not if you're 2,000-4,000 miles away, you're not going to meet in person, are you? And you can still get together. So we have so many great opportunities, whatever the distractions are, if we let the Lord guide us in those distractions, away from those distractions, into what he gives us to do. So verse 2 is an interesting verse for all of us. All you busy alpha people, listen up. It is vain for you to rise up early. Really? I thought it was good to rise up early. Well, let's finish it. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. What does that mean? You're not getting any rest. And why are you doing that? Oh, I got to get ahead. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm working so hard I can't sleep. I got to, you know, be busy all the time, running on empty. And it's vain. It's vain. And what happens? You eat the bread of sorrows. You eat the bread of sorrows with all your toiling. All your toiling, you're so busy, but without the Lord, it's for nothing. It's vain. But for so he gives his beloved sleep. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Just think about what that means. Oh, you don't know how filled with anxiety I am. I can't sleep. Oh, I'm so worried. Well, you think that's from the Lord? I know it's not from the Lord. The Lord wants to give you his sleep. And I'm not talking about sleep apnea and all those other things that can happen in a fallen world. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about he wants you to rest. He wants you to turn it over to him and you rest. Oh, I can't give it to the Lord. I got to handle it myself. Oh, really? Boy, you're headed for disaster for sure. Like, so he gives his beloved sleep. I so like that. Now, what else is important in life? The family. Behold, or listen up. Stop, look, listen. Children are a heritage, and another, maybe even better translation of that, in my opinion, is inheritance. Children are an inheritance from the Lord, or a heritage, if you like that better, or an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now think of what we're doing with abortion. Think of when you turn your back on the Lord, and you get into all kinds of sin, and you turn into a Sodom and Gomorrah kind of atmosphere where all the emphasis is on sex, you have a lot of unwanted babies, right? So what do? Rather than stop the cause of that, we want to kill the babies, right? And so it just goes on and on and on, all these byproducts of sin. But the fruit of the womb is a reward. The creation of life is unbelievable, isn't it? But again, that's to be in the context of the family. Be in context of the family. Now, this is good particularly for you dads or granddads. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Now, that might have had a little more meaning in those days than it does today. I don't know, how many times have you shot an arrow over the last week or last month, probably? At least as far as a physical arrow goes, probably none. But notice, in a warrior where your whole life is dependent on your weapon, and your weapon is an arrow, you want a lot of things in that arrow, don't you? First of all, you want that arrow to be straight. And if you're making your own arrows, it's hard to get straight wood and all. But if you've got an arrow that's got a bow in it, it's not going to go straight, is it? So you want to raise your children in the right way, in a straight way, not a crooked way. And then when you're getting ready for the release, you got to pull it back, don't you? You got to prepare this child for life. And that's one of the things we so missed with the sin in the world. But our prisons are, 70%+ filled with fatherless males? Because the father is the one to raise up the son. And when you have no father, you have no authority, recognition in the son generally, and you've got a son running amok. And so that's what we got here, right? So there's no preparing this son for life when you don't have a loving father and a loving mother. They're both required, but you can't do it all with either one of them very well, because it's the family. It's not single parents. That's that we've got just that everywhere. You know, you see somebody in the store, you start to witness to him, witness to this guy. Yesterday, I thought he was like in his 20s. He looked so young to me. And I said, are you single? He said, yeah, I can do anything I want. And then later he starts talking about his children. I said, oh, you got children? Yeah, I got an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. I looked at him. He's got an 18-year-old son. I thought maybe he was 8 years old when he had that son. I don't know how old he was, but somebody in their 30s now looks like a teenager to me, you know, so... But anyway, we ended up praying for his sons, which was good. But here he is, you know, the son, one son lives with him, the other son lives with his mother. And, you know, it's just that on and on and on. We have that, don't we, in this country today and others as well. But like the arrows in the hand of a warrior. And then when you release, you got to release that arrow at the right way with the right tension on the bow and the right aim, right? So you're preparing your children now for life. They got to be going in the right direction, or they're not prepared. And you want to aim high. You don't want to aim down in the dirt, right? And then when you let it go, you don't recall that arrow. Once it's gone, it's gone. So But this is this picture here that I see. Like an arrow in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. That means different things to different people. Some it means one, some it means two, some it means 14, some it means who knows what. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now think, if you're going to the gate of the city, where you would have differences settled with other people, and you're an old man like I am, and you walk in with 12 strapping young 200-pound, 6-feet guys around you, and here's your opponent over here. You think he's going to take you on, really? Because you got your army around you. You got your sons around you, right? So that may be not exactly what I see here, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So they're settling these differences in the gate of the city, and you've got your sons around you. Pretty good protection, isn't it? Because they love Dad, and they're going to protect Dad. So remember, in life, prepare, aim right, let the release be right, and may the arrows go in the right direction as led by the Lord. And so finally then, what are you building? And are you building it based on the Lord, or are you building it on your own strength? Psalm 128, blessings of those who fear the Lord. Wow. I can't even get beyond fear of the Lord, because that's everything, isn't it? Without the fear of the Lord, there's no hope of doing His will. Now, this is not a scaredy cat fear, or, you know, I'm scared of ghosts or something like that. This is a reverential fear. This is a cleansing fear. The word of the Lord is clean. The fear of God cleanses us. So blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? But we know it's true. Who walks in His ways. So are you fearing the Lord in that context, and are you walking in His ways? If you are, you're blessed. If you're not, you're not. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. Welfare doesn't work. It never has. It never will. It destroys people. They're happy when they work and when they eat the labor of their hands. You shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Unemployment checks may have a place, but not to survive on. That's not the purpose. You're supposed to go out and get a job. And yet, how many people you say today, or from time to time, they'll say, well, I'm going to have to go to work. My unemployment runs out next month, you know? And I'm thinking, boy, how sad that is, that you're not going to work till your unemployment runs out. Because we aren't made to receive unemployment. We're made to work, especially the men. Women as well, but the women's work is not necessarily the same way, I don't think, because what does it say? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine where? Outside the home? In the very heart of your house. Women's lib has left the Bible in a lot of ways, but this is one of them, it seems to me. When you start to shame mothers for raising their children, you really miss the mark there, don't you? Because in the very heart of your house, your children are like olive plants. Now, that word plants is really means cuttings. What they would do in those days, they would take a piece of olive wood and they would cut it, and they would tenderly plant it in the ground. And it takes some doing, because you need to water it. But once it starts to root, now you've got an olive tree that can produce for 1,000 years. You see some 1,000-year-old trees in Jerusalem, down there like in the Garden of Gethsemane area and all. They think maybe 2,000 years old. They may have been alive when Christ was there. These are old trees, but they've been bearing fruit all these years. So when you pour yourself into something like your children here, you're actually producing something that's going to be very fruitful, potentially. Just think about the Billy Grahams or Chuck Smiths or whoever you want to think about. But you can have one person who can, in some respects, have some impact on the world, right? And I mean, that's how important potentially these things are. And the way we maybe rate a lot of the importance of people is not the right way. But here it says, your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive cuttings all around your table. And again, I was thinking about just in my generation, you know, on a farm, the only place all of you are around the table every meal, typically. Morning, noon, and night. And rarely has that happened in anybody's life anymore. Well, I mean, when I was in school, I wasn't there at noon. I don't mean that. But there's a lot of meals around the table, which we don't have anymore, seems to me. Your children are like olive plants all around your table. And then behold, again, stop, look, listen, think. Behold, thus shall be the man, shall be, thus shall the man be blessed, what? Who fears the Lord. Do your children fear the Lord? Do your grandchildren fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? If you do, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll get in all kinds of trouble. Verse 5, the Lord bless you out of Zion. Now, Zion, I believe here they're referring to Jerusalem, Mount Zion. And that was the center of their spiritual blessings. That's where they would call the temple location. That's where they would call the Holy of Holies. And the Lord will bless you out of the center of blessings, in other words. You may see the good of Jerusalem. There it's tied together with Jerusalem. All the days of your life. Of course, we have that Psalm 23. You know, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But here's the promise. Fearing the Lord, being blessed all the days of your life. And we know that for the believer is eternal, actually. Yes, may you see your children's children. Quite an emphasis on the family, isn't there? And notice how Satan has so destroyed the family, just so destroyed the family. And now we've even gotten to the point where, well, we want to ban the Bible because it has male and female. I mean, how far, how twisted can you get so quickly, really? Isn't that something? Can you imagine such a thing? But that's where we are. But nevertheless, we know better and we know what's right and we need to stand for what's right, right? And then finally, the close again that we've had in 125 and other Psalms here, peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon Israel. And when will that be? When the Messiah comes. Not until. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. That's when peace will be here. And it will be peace, and it will be perfection, and all of the defilement will have been taken care of. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, even though it's 3,000 years old, it is just so timely. And help us to evaluate where we are, and thanking you, being grateful for the blessings, the unbelievable blessings that you give your children. And Lord, we want to pray this morning for whatever you would put on our heart to pray. And Holy Spirit, as you lead us, we will be in one accord. May we pray now. As we come to the end of the hour, just one thought keeps coming through my mind, as Lord, you would say, as even as they were nailing you to the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Yes. And Father, we have so many now not knowing what they're doing because they're so far from you. But in spite of that, Lord, I do want to close as we close with this psalm today. Of the blessings, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And there's this great benediction song, really, that sums it up. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Let's sing that together. The notes are on page 3. Remember what you're going through right now. He is for you. Thank you for coming. May we be in prayer today and keep our eyes on Him. And that'll be so obvious to the world who is so searching if they see someone whose eyes are on the Lord. God bless you.